Welcome to chapter 90 of Memoirs of a White Guy. It could be 89, but that could have been last week. It's been a big week. I don't know. I feel like I peaked too early with 90. I'm going to look it up. Look, you guys already know. This is the stupid part about when I do this is you guys are looking at it on your phone or your computer going, it doesn't matter what episode it is. I know it doesn't matter, but it's for me, okay? It's episode 90, guys. It's for me knowing that I'm right. And now I know that I'm right and I can continue on with the rest of my day. Because, you know, no one likes... You wouldn't really want the next 45 to 50 minutes of me doing this podcast with a little bit of added self-doubt. No one wants that. You want confident Luke. You want reassured Luke. And that was what that was. Reassuring myself that I got the episode number right. Because that's important. Guys, it's been a big week. I don't even know where to start, to be honest. So I'll start at the start. That's usually where stories begin. Except for those weird indie films where they're like 6 months in the future. And then it shows like a scene. And then the rest of the movie is just leading up to that scene. Not even indie films. Like Hollywood films do that shit. I hate that. I'm like, give me the start. I don't care. Don't spoil the ending. I kind of hate that where it's just like, oh, this is what's going to happen. So let's see how it all... You know what it is? It's like those little Nickelodeon shows. It's like it goes like a record scratch and then it's like, yep, that's me. And you're probably wondering how I got myself into this situation. Well, it all started and then it goes like a rewinding sound effect. And it goes back to the start of the day or the week. It's like, well, now I'm wondering how you got yourself into that situation. You know, it's like usually like a girl or a guy being picked on in class or they've been taped up against a pole. And it's like, you're probably wondering how I got myself in this sticky situation. Well, no, I wouldn't have been if you had have started at the start of the story. That would have been a great surprise ending. But now you've shown that to me, and of course I'm wondering that. It doesn't mean I had to be wondering it, or that I want to be wondering that. You've just forced that upon me, okay? So I'm going to do what I like best and start at the start. Or I could be shit and be like, how do we... Actually, I'm going to do that now. Alright, so how do I set the scene? So, okay, I'm bombing, right? So I go... I was actually in my dad's ball sack, and then no one laughs in the middle of a movie cinema. And then I'm like, oops, how did we end up in this situation? Well, I guess I'll take you guys back. So, it all starts last week's podcast. If you haven't listened to last week's podcast, go check that shit out now, because it is important for the next bit of the story. So on last week's podcast, I was talking about, as you know, if you listen, the Jurassic World movie premiere. I was invited to host this movie premiere for the new Jurassic World film, which I've forgotten the name once again, because I forgot the name on stage, like at the front of the premiere. So it was, I got asked to do it through the radio station, right? Because Fox were helping run this premiere. They're like, hey, we need someone to host it. You obviously go on stage a lot. Everyone else here doesn't want to do it. Can you do it? And I was like, yes, because I'm a kiss ass, I will do that. Right? And I mainly just wanted free tickets. I was like, I was going to go see the movie anyway. I might as well save myself $17, right? Or $12 or $13 on a Tuesday, depending on which cinemas you're hitting up. All right? So I was like, yeah, fine, I'll do it, cool. So I got to Crown. It's like fancy shit, right? And you guys know me. I'm not a fancy boy. All right, I got my boots. But other than the boots, that's it. That's all I got, all right? What am I going to do? Rock up with my JJs and cotton on jacket and be like, oh, what's up, Crown? Sorry, you can't get in. Oh, okay. I'm hosting the premiere inside. No, look at you. You look like you're out of a fucking Kmart catalogue. Yeah, that's me, man. That's me. Or you shouldn't have invited me then. Alright? Because I'm literally on the invite list. And in brackets, it should have said Kmart and all. Alright? Like, look at my head, dude. My head, if my head was a franchise, it'd be Kmart. Okay? So I was like, anyway, so I went in there. I just looked out a place. You know, there's like, if you've never been to one of these stupid movie premiere things, it's kind of like Instagram models, a couple of people from like old ex-Bachelor contestants. Apparently there's a guy from Married at First Sight there. Like, I was seeing some guy and he's like, oh my god, that's John from Married at First Sight. And I was like, I don't watch it, right? So I was like, okay, cool. It looks like an old dude who's having a midlife crisis, which apparently is a great description of John from Married at First Sight. There was Lee from The Bachelorette, who's with Georgia Love. He was there. He was one of the big star-studded guests. There was a few girls taking photos with him. And if you saw my Snapchat story, I thought it was very amusing to film that happening. It's pretty much just people like who just have Instagram followers, right? So fucking nobodies like me, right? That's how I get an invite to this shit, right? So I was like, yeah, right, cool, I'll do it. I'm happy to be a nobody amongst the other nobodies. So I get there, and, you know, I'm taking pictures with dinosaurs. I'm loving it. I'm doing funny poses on the red carpet or whatever. And I'm there by myself like a loser. Like, everyone else has a plus one. My brother was my plus one, but he was running late from work. So I'm, like, waiting for my brother to rock up. So I'm just loving it. I'm, like, taking selfies with velociraptors. Because that's what I do on Wednesdays. And finally gets to the moment where I have to host the actual premiere. And if you've never been to one of these premieres, all I got to do is get up there right before the movie starts and be like, hey guys, thanks very much to Village Crown and Universal Pictures for putting on this Jurassic World, blah, 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 blah. Thanks some sponsors. Who's pumped for dinosaurs? And everyone's like, yeah. So that's my job, right? I'm hype man. Like, is it? I'm essentially Chris Pratt's hype man. Right, so I was like, who's pumped for Jurassic? And I said Jurassic Park, because I'm like, I didn't know what it was called. It's called Jurassic World. So I fucked up the name of the film. I was like, who's pumped for Jurassic Park, the Fallen something? And and it's called Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And I was looking at the lady from Universal Pictures like, help me out. And she points up at the screen, and the name of the movie is like in huge letters on the big movie screen behind me. And I was like, and the second cinema, I literally had to read it off the screen. I was like, all right guys, who's excited for? And then I turned around, there was a long pause, and I'm just reading up from the screen, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Who's excited for that? And everyone's just begrudgingly going, yeah, why are you speaking? Let's just watch the movie. Just trying to have some popcorn right now. Where the fuck are you speaking? Great. How many Instagram followers do you have? Probably more than you, mate. You fucking 20k dog. All right. So, and then it got to the part of the night which I was really looking forward to. So if you listen to last week's podcast, they told me to make it a little bit funny. They were like, oh, make it lighthearted, have a bit of fun with it, you know. Perhaps you could throw in a little joke about dinosaurs. And I was like, oh, that sounds shit, right? So I was like, okay, I'll do my best to make it funny. And in the planning meeting with a guy, he asked me, he's like, oh, one thing we really want you to ask the crowd is, because it's the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park, of the original film, one thing we thought you could ask the crowd was, does anyone remember where they were when they first saw the first movie, you know, 25 years ago? If anyone in the cinema has a story about it, they can win a prize. And I was like, okay, cool. So he's like, and then he asked me, he's like, well, oh, look, for example, where were you when you saw the original Jurassic Park film 25 years ago? And I was like, I'm in my dad's ball sack. Probably not even, but yeah, I didn't exist, right? And he's like, he had a bit of a chuckle. It was good banter. It was good banter in a office environment that's about as edgy as you can get, right? And he's like, I had a good laugh. He's like, you should say that. And I was like, oh, I don't think I should, right? And then a few of the other bosses were there and they're like, no, definitely don't say that. It was the kind of a younger guy who was originally encouraging. He's like, all right, well, maybe not. Okay, well, you know. So that's a few representatives of the company were like, maybe let's not go with a ball sack joke on the night, right? It's, you know, there's a lot of clients there. We're talking big clients, you know, A-list celebrities. God, you wouldn't want them to hear a ball sack joke. Their whole fucking career is a ball sack. So I was like, all right, cool. I won't do the joke, whatever. But, you know, I love a laugh. Don't we all? We all do. That's why you're listening to this podcast. You love a giggle. You love a bit of banter. And most likely, if you enjoy this podcast, you'll love yourself a good ball sack joke. Who doesn't? All right? Balls are funny. Why are they dangled down like that? They shouldn't be there, really. Balls should be internal. You guys ever thought about that? Like, a scrotum. Scrotums are fucking ridiculous. Right? I don't know why they're external. Like, even from an anatomical point of view. Because it's just like, if I remember you got... I still think I'm infertile. Like, one time a mate of mine, oh, sick mate, but anyway, he's still one of my best mates. He kicked a basketball into my dick in grade 6 from about 10 meters away, probably 5. And I still think from that day I'm infertile, right? Why are they on the outside of your body? Like, girls don't have their sexual organs on the outside of their body because it makes no sense. Guys are just like, it's just, I mean, if you sway like that and you're not, like... They're just swinging around down there. Like, anyway, balls are funny. That's the point. Balls are really funny. Because everyone's just like, oh, ball sacks, they're weird. Like, no matter guy or girl, especially girls, they're just like, oh, I don't get him, but I just accept that they're there. Right? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. A little ball sack joke never hurt anybody. You know that song, it's like, a little party never killed nobody. I'm like that with ball sacks. I'm like, a little ball sack never killed nobody. Unless someone's choked on a ball sack before. In that case, RIP. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I psyched myself up. I was like, the ball sack joke's going down. I got to keep this interesting for me somehow. Now, I did say on the podcast last week, guys, I'm going to do the ball sack joke. It's going to happen. And drum roll, please. That's a better drum roll. I did the ball sack joke. Much to the confusion of about 450 people. Only you get it. These cinemas are huge. These are the big ones at Village and Crown. They seat well over 400 people. And yeah, this is how it went. I recorded it on my phone. I'll play the audio now. For you all, and I guess you guys can hear for itself. Now, I was thinking it would bomb, right? Hang on, I'm just getting it ready. I was thinking that this joke would bomb, as it should. It's not a good joke, and that's why I wanted to do it, right? So I was like, man, if anyone laughs at this, this would be so funny, okay? And this is 450 people, right? I reckon... So what you'll hear is me kind of setting up the joke and already giggling to myself because I knew what was coming. And then what you'll hear after the joke is about, is my mate in the front row laughing? So one of my mates, I gave him a plus one to the premiere. He came, my brother laughed, and like three people at the back out of 400. It was just dead silence. All right, this is how the ball sack joke went, ladies and gentlemen.
Does anyone remember where they were when the first film was released? No. We've had some stories in the last cinema. People had some tales. I was in my dad's ball sack. I was extinct. Right, but I didn't exist yet, but anyway, a few of you may have. I like how I laugh. Thank you, man.
Oh, fuck. That's so funny that they asked me to do that. Oh, I'm never going to get asked again. Oh, what a way to go out, though. That's so good. Oh, I still haven't spoken to my boss since. He was in the room. That would be interesting. I reckon he was probably the guy who laughed at the back. But I'm not sure the clients of the company would have been impressed. I'll play it again. How's the awkward lull just in the middle?
Some stories in the last cinema. People have some tales. I was in my dad's ball sack.
There's like a 3-second gap where it's just silence. Are you ready?
Tales. I was in my dad's ball sack. I was extinct.
Someone goes, "Ey." And then I tried to back it up with a dinosaur joke because it was just tanking. And I was like, yeah, I was extinct. And then you can't hear it in the audio, but I just gestured to this fucking dinosaur that was on the screen behind me. I was like, yeah, it's just, I was extinct. Get it? Because I didn't. All right. And then I just did like 3 trivia questions about Jurassic Park, gave out some prizes, and then fucking left. Oh, man, it was funny. And afterwards, I watched the film, and afterwards, like, one guy in the toilet was like, ball sack joke, yeah? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I liked it, bro. And I was like, cool, man. And then he just left. Guys, I did well. I did great, and I'm really proud of myself that I followed through. I feel like testicular jokes don't get enough coverage these days, particularly at movie premieres and stuff like that, you know, where people take themselves a bit seriously. So, hey, I feel like I'm shaking up the movie industry. I'll be in Hollywood soon. I mean, the dream is one day to drop a ball sack joke at the Oscars. Hopefully I'll get there. You know what? I'll try and drop a ball sack joke at the Logies once. All right? If I ever do any work on TV or anything, hey, that's the only reason now why I want to get into TV. People will find this tape after I did it as well, when it's in the news, like, Luke Kitchell did ball sack joke, and they'll find this conversation right now and be like, oh my god, he had it planned all along, we should have known. But hey, they'll never see it coming, because you know what? Chances are the executives at Channel 10 don't listen to this podcast. And that's their loss, because they could have stopped. There was warning signs, like me saying, I'm going to do a ball sack joke one day at the Logies. But they could have stopped it, but they won't. You know what I mean? And that serves them white for not being white enough to listen to this podcast. So that's how the ball sack joke, guys, went. And the movie premiere was all right. It was all right. I just got to bed late. Then I had to wake up and go to Gold Coast the next morning because I was meeting up with my buddy Josh Wade up there the day before my Brisbane show. I'll talk about that maybe next week, about what we were doing and stuff and how... you know, what I'm doing with Josh at the moment, which is pretty exciting. I just got a lot of other shit to talk about this week, but I'll get into that stuff next week. I'm going to write a note now, just so I don't forget it. Sorry, this is a bit unprofessional, but I'm just going to, just so I don't forget, Josh Wade stuff. Great, that's penciled in for next week's podcast, guys. Up next on my little list, oh, this one is huge. This is unreal. You thought a ball... Okay, this is how big this week's podcast is. If you thought a ball sack joke at the Jurassic Park or whatever the fuck world premiere is called... Oh, what am I saying? If you thought a ball sack joke at the Jurassic World movie premiere was big, that's... Shoo. Skedaddle. Get out of here. Come on, take your low expectations and fuck off then. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. All right? What I did the next day will shock you. Yes, that sounded like a BuzzFeed article. Yes, I still stand behind it. And I would click this shit, by the way. Many girls will probably feel me here and be super impressed. Maybe not so many guys, but some guys might be too. I don't want to be sexist, but I just think this is definitely skewed at females. Often my content is, because I'm a, you know, I'm not the most masculine of men, right? Many people, I'm just going to come out and say it, okay? Girls, I reckon, here's what I'm thinking. 30% of the girls listening might be impressed. 3% of the guys will be. So that's 33, that's a third of you may be impressed by this. The other 2/3, I don't know. You'll be impressed at the end once I explain it. Guys, I've been... using pawpaw cream. This, you know that, you know how you see girls with their little, and me, so girls and me, with their little red tubes of pawpaw ointment, Lucas pawpaw, right? And they just, you know, every girl has one in the handbag. Most guys just look at that and go, I don't get what is that? Is that foot cream? You know, is that ball sack cream? Probably not, otherwise I should get some. And if so, why does every girl have one? It's not ball sack cream, guys. It's for everything, alright? I'm reading it now. This little... What is it for? A local topical application for boils, bums... Ooh. Bums? Oh, burns. It says burns. I thought it said bums. I was like, I've never put this in my ass. I was about to start using this a lot differently. It's an application for boils, burns, not bums, chafing, cuts, cracked skin, gravel rash. What the fuck is gravel rash? Who's like, what are you doing, worming on gravel? I'm going to Google that. Gravel rash? Oh, this is going to, I feel like I don't want to Google gravel rash. Oh, it's literally just people have fallen on gravel, like off motorbikes and stuff. Oh, don't Google gravel rash. Oh, shit. Okay. I think you're going to need a lot more than Lucas pawpaw ointment to fix that. Dude. Oh, anyway, it's for gravel rash, splinters, open wounds, insect bites, and nappy rash, which is why I use it. Now, the reason why I use it is for my lips, right? And people are always using it on their lips, okay? And when I was in year 9, I used to be on this, what's it called? It's on this acne-like medication. I used to have really bad acne when I was in high school. And, like, all over my shoulders, face was fucked. Like, I just looked like, I don't know, you know, like, Two-Face from Batman? But that was my whole face. And I was one of those people who definitely peaked after high school, right? So it was called a Roaccutane, right? I was on this, like, thing called a Roaccutane, and it really dries up your skin. So at the time, I had to start using lip balm and chapstick and stuff out of necessity because I was on this really bad, and I have to start moisturizing. And then it kind of gets to a point where I got off the medication and then I just kept to keep... Like, all this shit is addictive. Like, I just had to keep using this pawpaw ointment and I kept... Anyway, whatever. I had to keep using moisturizer every day. Still do because, you know, my skin's... That's how I look no older than 21. Yeah, because I'm 22. Anyway, so I kept on using all these pawpaw and all this shit and... What's year 9? I was about, 14, 15? I was probably 15 at the time. It's been 7 years of using, like, moisturizer and pawpaw. And not until this week, ladies and gentlemen, have I ever finished an entire pawpaw. Girls and guys, mainly girls, I did it. 7 years' time, and I finished an entire lip balm. Without losing it, without misplacing it, without wrecking it, ruining the top. I never thought it would happen. 7 years, I lose it every single time. One time I almost finished one. I reckon I had a week's left of it, and then I left it on a train somewhere, gone forever. I've come so close. I've never actually received one of these, and then... used it all, then put it in the bin. I've left it at friends' houses, parties, because I'm pretty cool like that. You name it, I've left it. I've people's cars, public transport, cafes, restaurants, slips out of my pocket. I've never... Do you know how much many of these I've gone through over the years? Maybe hundreds, I don't know. But I'm really excited to it. And I know there's some girls right now going, you fucking didn't. I fucking did. I finished an entire pawpaw. I never thought I'd see the day. But it was one of those things where I was like, never give up. You know the Justin Bieber song, Never Say Never? I was just like, this is my destiny. And then I was just putting it on, putting it back. If I had a zip, you know, I'd be zipping it up in my bag. Just like looking after this like it was my baby. I was like, this is the one. I mean, this is my new one. I already thrown it out. But the point is, I was like, this is the one I'm going to finish. It was always meant to be this way. All right? I still can't believe it either. I know there's a few of you right now reeling at this big news going like, wow, I thought the ball sack joke was great. Now this is next level content. This is almost as good as a bloody banana Tupperware from last week. Oh, man, that would be the best montage, hang on. That would be such a good montage, Never Say Never, of me just, like, looking for all my... Hang on, here we go. Never Say Never. It's alright. So this is me in... Hang on, I'll just turn it down. This is me in year 9, alright? And someone gives me my first pawpaw, I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna finish this. And then I lose it on a train, and I'm like, damn... Sorry, I'm not going to let that get to me. Oh, I slipped out of my pocket in a cafe. Don't worry, buy a new one. I can finish one. Alright. What's that? 3/4 through, left it at grandma's. Fuck. I can do it. And then I got this new one, and I was like, it's been 7 years. I can do it. Destiny. And I just looked after it, zipping it up as I said. You name it. I did it. Make it right whenever you can. It was literally that. I was literally like, whenever you fall. Like, sometimes it fell on the ground, and I was like, I will pick you up. Pick it up, 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 and put it back in the pocket. Guys, I did it. I did it. I motherfucking did it. All right, never say never. Anything is possible. All right, yeah. I'll talk about it soon. I just finished a really successful national tour. Great, that's a bit of an achievement. It's nothing compared to the pawpaw. Never say never. Never say it. Never thought that I would finish a pawpaw. Yeah, I never thought that it would be in the bin at the end. I'm long enough to run. You know, like that, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but when, like, Jaden Smith's training in The Karate Kid, alright, I'm referencing the new one because that's what's in front of me on the film clip right now, right? He's training with Mr. Miyagi, right? And then there's Justin Bieber in the studio behind you. You know, it's like that. Literally, it was like a full, you can make a montage of every single time I went out of my way to refine this. Okay, I'll tell you the one story that really, towards the end, alright, I think I had about a week left, and I've been in this situation before. I had a week left of my pawpaw, and then it got lost. The other week, I was on the train, as I was talking about last week, and it slipped out of my pocket, right? And I can't concentrate with the music on. I hit the door button, right? And then I quickly checked my pockets, and I was like, there's just no turning back when there's no pawpaw in your pocket. And then I looked back down at the seat, and the doors opened. There was peak hour, there was people coming on the train, and my pawpaw was sitting on the chair, and I was like, there's hardly any left in it. I'll just buy a new one. It's fine. It's not a financial loss. And then I was like, no, this could be the first ever pawpaw that I finished the whole way through. So you know what I fucking did? I walked through like 20 people coming the other way in peak hour traffic. Was like, excuse me. All right, excuse me. Never say never. All right, I can do this. I'm leaning over, and this lady goes, is this your pawpaw? And I was like, yes, it fucking is my pawpaw. And I grabbed it, and then right in front of her, I twisted the knob, and I applied that shit. And then I was like, mwah, right? It was a friendly kiss. I was like, thank you, old lady, old six-year-old woman who I've never met on the train. Blew her a kiss with my fresh lips, and I fucking got out of there. And then I was just like, felt like, like, you know the bit when, like, Jaden Smith comes in the song and he's like, yeah, my dad's famous. I was like, uh-huh. Yeah, I was like, I can handle it. Now he's bigger than me, stronger than me. Sorry, this has just turned into me rapping Justin Bieber now. You guys get the idea. I did it. Never say never, guys. If you don't think you can do something, can guarantee you can. Guarantee you can. I finished a pawpaw. What are you going to do about it, huh? Huh? Complain to me this is shit content during the week on Snapchat. Get the fuck out of here. You don't know content. You don't know what it's like. 7 years of finishing. 7 years. Do you know how long? That's like a third of my life. I've been using pawpaw and never finished one. Anyway. Amazing. So anyway, girls, if you're out there and you never think it could be done, it can. All right. And also, send your support through the week. Let's kind of hold each other to this. Girls, right now, if you've just opened a fresh pawpaw, lip balm, chapstick, you name it, this can be the one, alright? Alright, babe, honey, you don't let anyone tell you what you shouldn't be able to do, what you think you can't do, alright? This is it. This is the pawpaw that you're going to finish right now. You fucking whack that on your lips, chuck it in your pockets, get a little safe for it if you have to. I believe in you, hun. All right? Sisters. All right. Jeez. I reckon my male audience right now still listening is just like, mate, more pawpaw chat, dude. Fucking oath. what else do I want to talk about? Alright. I've had a weird week with gigs. I mean, oh, it's crazy. So, I'll start off with the positives. This tour has been amazing, guys. So, the tour just wrapped up on Saturday in Sydney. Friday night, I did two shows in Brisbane. Obviously, I had a bit of a break between the last ones. And, man, that was the best weekend of shows I've ever done in my life, hands down. And I really want to thank every single person who came across the entire tour, starting off in Melbourne, all those people who came on the very first night and watched me, what was essentially working out what the show was, and what it, you know, and then what it became to as it evolved during the end. I felt like every show was different to the last, no, like in a good way, like just not saying that any of them were bad. I was super stoked with how all of them went, actually. You know, because last year, it was my very first year. I was in a shithole venue during the comedy festival at the top of this little pub. And one night, I had like 25 people in there. You know, and some nights I was getting 30. Just like whatever. And I was like, and I was stoked that anyone was coming out. And then the step up from this year, which is those nights of getting 30 turned into nights of getting 80 and 70 and then filling it on the weekends, 100, like, and then it's just 90, 100, 90, 100, 100, 100, 100, and I ended up selling out 9 of the 12 shows in Melbourne, which was crazy, and I never thought it would happen when I even booked the room. I was like, oh, maybe if I sell at the weekends, that would be cool. But yeah, I was selling out Tuesdays and Thursdays and stuff, so thank you very much to everyone who came in Melbourne and started it off with a bang. And then the way the show continued around the country, with Adelaide and Newcastle, no joke, every single state doubled. So the amount of people, twice as many people came to see my show this year in every single place, except Perth. And that's not Perth's fault, that's because I fucked up and didn't book the venue twice, and I should have done two shows, and I only did one. So yeah, that was not Perth's fault, that was my fault. Then I got heaps of messages, so sorry if you're one of the people who missed out in Perth. I'll be back next year and be doing two shows in a bigger venue. So yeah, it was unreal. Adelaide, Perth were awesome. Then I headed off to what was after that, Canberra. And that was the first time I'd ever obviously done a show in Canberra. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a couple of months now, you'll know that I was very stressed about that one. And then the show ended up selling out. We had to turn away a couple of people on the door. The room was packed to the brim. It was just a really small room at the top of a pub, but the vibe was awesome. There was this dude who was like way, he didn't shut the fuck up about his Nissan Pulsar. That was pretty funny. Like, he was bragging about owning a Pulsar. He was from Queanbeyan. And he's like, yeah, man, came here in the Pulsy. And I was like, no one's impressed, dude. And then, no joke, this is why I'll put it up in the Crowdwork compilation, because it was super funny. But I moved on from this guy, right? So we just had this, like, 3-minute chat about this guy's car. I was, you know, making fun of him a bit. And I was like, dude, no one cares about your car. We didn't shut up about it. And then I was like, I started another joke, and he just yells out, like, I'm literally 30 seconds into a new joke. So I'm like, oh, anyway, so, like, I'm 21, which means I have this bit about 21st birthday parties. And then he just yells out, 90,000 kilometers. And I was like, what? He's like, 90K. And I was like, did you just yell at the mileage of your car? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, fucking why? No one was like, I didn't say, oh, by the way, man, like, can you fucking listen? Like, I wasn't like, oh, what's the mileage of your car? Quick, yell it out the top of your lungs. No, I'd moved on. So anyway, I was, for every show, there was, like, always something weird that happened, which made it, like, super fun going out every night. Newcastle, there was foot fetish bloke. I convinced this old woman that I talked about in the podcast that Hufflepuff was a sex position. Just funny shit every night, man. And it was amazing. So thank you so much to everyone who made the tour unreal. And meeting you all afterwards is totally the best part in Sydney. Because I was like, Sydney was the biggest show I'd ever done, by like double probably. It was in like this cool theatre, the Giant Dwarf Theatre. It's an awesome room. You might have seen some photos on our Instagram stuff. And yeah, like, people were around 2 hours in the meet and greet just to get a photo and stuff. So thank you to everyone who stuck around It's very cool meeting you all. One guy literally just waited around 2 hours, right? Came up to me, I was like, hey man, what's your name? Because I was, you know, just introduced myself to everyone and like, you know, try and get to know them in the short time that we have and, you know, thank everyone for coming. And like, I was like, yeah, what's up, man? I was like, thanks so much for coming. He's like, cool, dude. Amy Shark says hi. Just wanted you to know. And I was like, yeah, cool. Thanks for passing it on, man. And then he just fucking left. Immediately. 2 hours. Amy Shark says hi. Alright, see you, man. It was cool. Goes. And on the way out, he's like, it was a good show, by the way. I was like, thanks, man. Fucking hell. It's great. What we have going on in this weird fucking fan base is unreal. Well, I don't know what I've built, but I love it, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else in my life. Never in any in world would I just someone wait 2 hours to be like, Amy Shark says hi, and I'm never in any other situation would I be like, that was a good use of time. But it was. That was 2 hours well spent by that guy. But yeah, it was awesome meeting you all, so thank you all very much. I guess I posted some of my favorite moments from the tour last night on Instagram. What were some that I wrote down? Con McDickface. I think I talked about some of these in the podcast already. I know there was like, yeah, I pretty much talked about them both. But just like, I popped a Shackers with a guy called V Pop in Adelaide. That was his name. And he got me to write V Pop a Shackers on his car, which is, oh, sorry, on his poster, on his car. Sorry, car just pulled up at the front. So anyway, that was good fun. So yeah, loving the banter with you guys and the tour. It makes it all worth it. And I just want to say that I'm doing a brand new show next year. I've no idea what the fuck that's gonna be yet. I've written 5 minutes of it actually, and it went awesome. I tried it at the lounge the other night and it was sick. So yeah, the new show is already underway. I'm gonna be doing it bigger and better next year, and I guess I'll elaborate on how I'm doing it next year. I'm doing it a bit differently next year to what I did this year. It won't change for you guys, just behind the scenes stuff, and that's to do with Josh Wade, what I alluded to earlier. So I'll talk about that next week, because I always like to keep you guys in the loop with what I'm up to. And also, I don't know, it's good to be transparent and open with your audience about how you're getting shit done. I feel like it builds a level of trust, and that's what I like. So, all right. One thing that was freaking funny in the guy in the Gold Coast on the weekend, I was waiting for Josh to pick me up from the airport, and, there must have been, like, a plane that got back from, like, a surfing place full of a bunch of surfers, because I was waiting in the Uber area for about 15 minutes, right, and in the time I was there, three separate guys with surfboards rocked up to the Uber waiting zone, then they order an Uber, and they had like big 6-7 foot surfboards like in their arms, and they were classic surfer dudes, long blonde hair, right? All they know in the world is surfing. They're like, yeah, I don't know how to do my tax, but fucking out of white, I know how to ride barrels, man. It's gnarly. So they're those kind of dudes, right? Classic Gold Coast guys, and three of them order an Uber in a row, and the first one orders one. And the Uber rocks up and goes, sorry, man, this is not going to fit. You have a 7 foot surfboard. Like, it's just a little Indian guy. He's like, not going to fit. You know, he's trying to speak to him in broken English, trying to tell him. And the guy's like, come on, mate, she'll be right. We'll just flip down the seat, whack her in there. No, it'll be no worries. I do it with my Mrs. Corolla all the time. Don't worry about it, mate. Trust me, it fits. You just got to get it on the diagonal, right? So this guy's trying to jam his surfboard in this little Toyota Corolla. And it's not going in. The guy's like, nah, sorry, you need to order an Uber XL. So the guy's like, oh, fuck, all right. So he orders an Uber XL. He gets picked up. 5 minutes later, boom, another guy comes out the surfboard, does the same thing. Uber X, tiny little Pulsar or some shit like that, like a Honda Civic or something rocks up. At one point, a two-door car rocked up, right? And the guy's like, even the guy was like, oh, fuck, I don't think this is going to fit. And every single time, the Uber driver's like, you can't order a two-door vehicle when you have a 7 foot surfboard to carry. You need to order an Uber XL. And these guys, every time, the desperation of just like just trying to fit it like it was Tetris, just like the it was the little long bit when it came in, but there was no room for it anywhere, right? And they're just trying to jam it in the back. And I was the best, man. It was the most Gold Coast shit I've ever seen. Just the resilience to be like, I can fit a surfboard in fucking anything. I'm from the Gold Coast, mate. I store it in my bloody kitchen drawer. It's like, oh. You just can tell that some blokes pride themselves on surfboard storage. It's like, mate, roof racks are for fucking, mate, you don't need them, mate. You just bloody seats down, all right? You chuck a little red ribbon on the back. It's hanging out miles at the back, all right? And you hold it when you're driving, mate. You got 1 foot on the wheel, two hands on the bloody surfboard, 1 foot on the accelerator, mate. Too easy. Half an hour trip back home to bloody Coolin. Oh, no, I was about to say Coolin Gadda. That is where the airport is. But anyway, it was just the most Gold Coast shit ever. I was like, give up. You're not going to fit a 7-foot surfboard in a Honda Civic. Stop trying. And the poor people, like, the poor Uber drivers kind of gave them a chance to try and fit it, and none of them fit. Anyway, that was something, I don't know why I thought, that was just hilarious to me. I was like, dude, you're not gonna, anyway. I had a sick celeb spot during the week, guys. It was one of the highlights of my week, other than, of course, doing the biggest show I've ever done, and we got it filmed as well in Sydney, which was awesome, so I'll be doing a few clips from there. And actually, before I talk about the celeb spot, I just want to say, like, that Brisbane and Sydney show was, like, by far the most, like, positive response I've ever gotten from anything I've ever done. Like, everyone was just, like had a great night, which is, like, all you can ask for as an entertainer. Like, that was, everyone just had that, looks like they had the best night, and I really hope even that crowd you did, because, like, everyone who came up to me at the end was like, man, that was unreal. And it was, you know what the best part was? Everyone who came back from last year was like, dude, that shat on last year. Like, that was so much better. Not that, like, that, like, last year was great, but, man, you, like, it's next level this year, which was super. It was really awesome, because I've put a lot of effort, and I've done, what, like, 150 gigs, like, or something since the last tour. So, I don't know, I feel like the work start, you know, like, obviously, you guys see a lot of the online work and stuff, but the shit you don't see performing to four people at open mics, that is the shit that makes a difference. Like, on Tuesday, literally this Tuesday, I performed my new bit to four people, like, at some shitty open mic. I was just like, I had the Comics Lounge after, but I was like, are there any gigs on before the Comics Lounge? Like, that was like 300 people on a Tuesday. That's an awesome gig. And then I was like, fuck it, I want to do this joke anywhere. So I tried to do it at two different places before the lounge. And I was like, I don't care how many people there, I just want to say the thing and see if I can make the four people laugh. And they fucking did. So, like, that's the stuff that is the thing. And someone said the coolest shit to me. I was like, and it reminded me of a story that they were just like, man, I was talking about, like, how I paid so much money to film, and the venue was fucking me over in Sydney and all this stuff or whatever. I was like, yeah, cool, man, that's fine. Like, I'm not making a lot of money out of this. It's just fun doing it. And this person was like, oh, that's the coolest shit, man, that you're like, I want to have a job. It was this guy, I forget what the guy's name was after the show. It was really nice. And it was after the Sydney show, and he's like, man, I admire you, because I want to have a job where I can come out at the end of the day and I don't give a fuck about how much money I make. I just was glad that I was there. And I was like, oh shit, I never even thought about that. And I was like, I truly do have the best job in the world. And it reminded me of a story where I think I had I had a great gig, right? Sorry. It was this shitty gig, right? And I forget, I remember I got paid like $4 or something for this one gig, because they did this thing with the comics where it was a gold coin donation at the door. And then they split the money at the end with, like, 15 comedians that were on. So I got, like, $4 or something. And I was like, oh, cool, right? I didn't even know I was doing it for money. But I was talking to my mate on the way home. And I'd done this new bit, and I was super stoked about it. And I was just pumped. And I was, like, you know, fist bumping. And I was, like, getting into the tunes or whatever on the way home. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, I was just getting around. Like, I had a good night. And he's like, man, I wish that I could have a job where I got paid $4 and I was fucking dancing and, like, I was stoked to be there on the way home. And I was like, yeah, I guess. Like, I didn't think about it like that. I was just stoked that I had a good gig. But yeah, it made me, it really reminded me on Sydney, and having a chat with a few of you all, that I'm very fortunate to be in this position, and I don't take it for granted. So thank you all very much for coming. I really appreciate it. Now, the celeb spot. Oh boy, is this a goodie, okay? Anyone familiar with Jurassic Park? They're literally the movie that I spent 15 minutes talking about before, the original. So we're in Sydney, we're in Surrey Hills, out in this outdoor cafe. I'm with Joseph Green, who's past guest of the podcast. He opened for my Sydney and Brisbane shows. He smashed it. I'm with Emily, and we're with Frenchie, right? So there's four of us. So Frenchie, also good friend of mine, comedian, past guest of the podcast, right? So it's me, Joseph, Emily, and Frenchie. We're sitting at this cafe, eating some food, and then all of a sudden, Joseph just freezes up and goes, guys, and the conversation just stops, and I'm like, what? So I'm like, oh my God, like, what's going to happen? Like, I thought there was something wrong, right? And he goes, don't look, but behind you, about to walk past, Sam Neill from Jurassic Park. And immediately I was like, oh, what the fuck, where? And I just looked, and I just locked eyes with him, and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have looked, Joseph was right. And then, so, it was so weird, because the whole cafe was like, really chirpy, and everyone was talking, you know, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, it's loud, cars are going by, and all of a sudden, because I think our table stopped talking and stopped being really loud, other tables quickly stopped talking, I'm like, what's wrong? And everyone looked up and saw it was Sam Neill, the guy from Jurassic Park, the original, right? And as he just walked past with his wife, every single person in the cafe just stopped talking and was dead silent, just looking at him go past, staring, and he just was trying to ignore it like it wasn't happening. And as it was in the middle of dead silence and everyone's just staring at this Hollywood movie star, Frenchie just starts going under his breath, the poor fucking dude. He totally heard him. Like, just as he'd walked away, I saw Sam Neill kind of look down and then go, no, I'm going to ignore it. Fuck, it was funny. So yeah, that was a good celeb spot. I mean, so how are we judging it? Sam Neill, location? He might live in Sydney now, so maybe it wasn't that exciting. But I was like, oh my God, this is so weird, because I've just spent the last 2 days thinking about Jurassic Park. And I think the level of, I think Frenchie kind of made that celeb spot, to his credit, a better celeb spot. I think it should be a general rule is, it's a primo celeb spot if you hum the theme of whatever song or like whatever thing they were in. For example, if you see like Harrison Ford, you can choose to either be like, dun, 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 as he's walking past just under your breath, or even quieter. Or even like you can do like a Star Wars one. As he's just fucking walking past. Be so good. Oh, man. So, yeah, I would highly suggest that. So, for the guy the other week who saw Jeff the Wiggle in Aldi, all right, man, you should have been like, that would have made that celeb spot better. So, that's the new rule. If you ever see a celeb, hum a tune associated with the celeb, all right? If you see, it doesn't matter who it is. If you see, bloody Nikki Webster, all right? She walks past on the street, just like, happy missing strawberry kisses. I'm sure it'd make her feel more comfortable. It's like, she's like, oh, fuck, that's a tune. Oh, that's mine. Oh, yeah, that's a good song. I've been missing. Or, for example, if Justin Bieber and Jaden Smith walks past, right? And you're just trying desperately not to, lose your pawpaw. Looking up, it is my destiny. I will never say never. I will fight. Do that from now on. That's how we do. That's the new celeb spot challenge. If you can hum the celeb. Not even that. If you can film yourself humming the theme as you're looking at the celeb, that, ladies and gentlemen, that is a celeb spot. That's a new challenge to you all. So if you're out there and you're spotting celebs, it doesn't matter. It's from the TV show, movie, singer, whatever. You find out what theme song is associated to that person's body of work and you hum the shit out of it. Hum the shit. The shit out of it. All right. All right. That's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. there is one thing that I guess I will talk about. I don't want to be talking about this, and I hate that I have to talk about this. Many people would have seen the news story in the week of the female comedian from Melbourne, Eurydice Dixon, who was raped and murdered on Tuesday night. It's fucking horrible. It obviously ruined my week, and as it would have affected everyone's lives as well, hearing that that shit doesn't even matter where you were in Australia. There was people in Sydney talking about it. Anyway, anytime something happens like this, it's really hard to... I never know how to react. And the thing with this one was it was close to home. I was actually at the gig on Tuesday night that Eurydice did and that she was walking home from at the end. And and then only a few hours later that she was found, her body was found. And I don't know, I found out the news. So what happened was, I obviously, as I said before, I was trying out some new material and I wanted to do a couple of gigs before I went to the Comics Lounge on Tuesday. And I went to this one gig and then around the corner was this other one. I didn't actually get up on stage at that one, but I did. The only person's set I watched was Eurydice's set. And me and Eurydice, I would say we weren't like close friends. We'd spoken a bit in the past. We used to do a room together, Station 59, quite a lot, which is one of the rooms that I started my stand-up in and used to go to every single week. And I guess we only ever chatted a couple of times. She was lovely. Obviously, she was, as most people are in the stand-up scene, they're great people. And yeah, when I saw that shit on Thursday morning on my news feed, it was one of the most confronting things that I've ever heard. I don't know, because, like, obviously I was pretty upset and, you know, quite shaken up just because, well, it doesn't matter who it is, but obviously then knowing her on a personal level, I didn't know her very well, but knowing her, who she was, and having watched her literally that night on stage doing what she loved and doing well, mind you, it fucking just, it was really hard. Like, it was, and I'm like, you know what I mean? It was really hard to wrap my head around. I didn't really know what I wanted to say about this. What I wanted to say about it was, it sparked like a conversation during the week that I strongly agree with, which is every girl has a fucking story about being threatened, not feeling comfortable, having a guy. Every girl, I bet you every single girl listening to this right now has a fucking story about it. Has a story about being harassed, someone making them feel uncomfortable. Every girl, whether you're 14 or you're 30, 60, it doesn't matter. Every single woman and girl has a story about that, and not every guy does. And it's fucking horrible that something this horrible has to happen for even me to talk about it and to anyway, I don't really know what I want to say about it. The point is, I agree. I'm not sure if you saw what Lisa Wilkinson said on the project about it, but it was spot on. She said that it's over. The time's over. Every time something like this happens, it's always, oh, girls, you shouldn't be walking around at night. So if you didn't, you would know what happened. But if you didn't, Eurydice was walking home by herself, And she obviously got attacked and raped and murdered in a park 900 meters from her house, and in the middle of the night. And it shouldn't, anyone should be able to walk home by themselves, guy, girl. And it's not up to girls to change their habits. It's not up to girls to stop doing or do anything differently. Girls shouldn't have to feel in fear. Girls shouldn't have to walk with freaking keys in their hand, you know, on alert all the time with one earphone out. It's that's anyway, that shouldn't be the case. Guys, if you're listening, it's fucking us, all right? I don't know, you might be thinking, oh, it's not me. It doesn't matter. It's us, all right? It's guys, the message here isn't for girls, right? The message should never be for girls. You know what's funny is whenever a guy gets king hit, and it's horrible either way, right? Or something happens to a guy. Guy got king hit in Sydney, right? Lockout laws came in. 1 AM, like, the laws changed. Everyone was like, holy shit. And then all of a sudden, something happens to a girl. A girl gets attacked or assaulted, and then it's all the focus is on the victim. And, oh, what can we do to prevent this and all this shit? Nothing. Shouldn't have to prevent it because it shouldn't fucking happen. Alright, so guys, just let's stop being pieces of shit. Our whole gender, right? Let's stop being pieces of shit. It doesn't matter if you are or not. I'm sure you've got a mate who's gotten a bit touchy-feely with a girl before. You should be the first in there. And it pisses me off that I wasn't talking about this last week. You know what I mean? That something like this has to happen. Anyway, what I wanted to say is, I don't want to get too deep into it. But obviously, my condolences go out to Eurydice and Eurydice's family. Obviously, everyone knew her. I know lots of people who are really good friends with her. Obviously, I knew her personally, just briefly. It's a very small comedy community, and everyone knows everyone. So it was really a huge blow to lots of people who I know, and myself included, just because that's fucking horrible to hear stuff like that. Anyway, so yeah, guys, let's stop being pieces of shit. The conversation isn't about what girls need to do. Oh, don't go outside. Fuck that, guys. Girls, keep doing you. Okay, guys, let's be better. All right. That's the end of the discussion. I felt like, you know, I had a lot of thinking time about this week. I kept me up a lot of nights because thinking about it. It's been on my mind a lot. I am, proud to say that I feel like I've always, I'm always doing my best. An example would be literally last week, and this is what, guys, you could probably take. I could do better, obviously, as well. Anyway, all of us could do better. But an example of something like the other week, I came in from a gig. It was literally the Tuesday before, 12:30 p.m. at night. We have a group message with my friends from high school. There was a girl, one of my friends from high school. She was out. She'd been out with her friends, and she's like, "Hey, can anyone pick me up from this pub? I got no ride home. Taxis won't come out here because obviously we live in fucking Whoop Whoop." And I'm probably just gonna walk. And I was like, no one else said, like, all the other guys were like, "Sorry, man, got an exam in the morning. Sorry, got work at 5 a.m. And I just gotten home and I was like, fucking hell. So I left immediately, to pick her up. So my phone's ringing, but anyway. So I was like, yes, of course. So I went and picked her up. I got home at 2 a.m. Picked her up at 1 o'clock. It took me, half an hour, 25 minutes to get there, 25 minutes to get back. And I was like, I'd rather go and pick you up and make sure that my friend is all right than sitting in bed going like, oh fuck, she's walking home right now. It doesn't matter who she is, all right? She's my friend from high school. There's been heaps of times where friends of mine, you know, I have friends from running and stuff. Like, there's a girl who used to, she moved out of home for a bit, and then she was started. I found out that she was walking home. She was only 16 years old. She was one of my friends from running. And she found out she was walking home from the train station for 40 minutes every night by herself in the dark at midnight. And I was like, oh, I'm always coming home from gigs. Just please hit me up and I'll definitely give you a lift home and pick you up from wherever at any time. It doesn't matter. And she did. And we I dropped at home quite a few times. So I think I feel like I always do whatever I can. The thing is, I shouldn't have to do that, but obviously you do. And guys, be better, all right? Not only is it a thing of keep your friends safe or whatever, it's don't fucking rape people. That's all that needs to be said. So, guys, girls, keep doing you. And the one thing that really hurt me, like, about this whole thing was that, obviously the whole thing's horrible, but every single girl, like, all these girls on my Facebook newsfeed and stuff, who I'm friends with, all of them were sharing stories on Facebook that I had no idea about how they'd felt uncomfortable, being harassed on a train, and all this shit, and I just went, this is unreal that it took for something like this bad to happen for all these stories to come out and stuff that so many people, like, as a guy, and it's, unless someone tells me, like, I don't know that all these things are happening. Obviously, I know. There was times, I remember at the start, Emily always brings up as one of the times where she, like, knew that I was, like, she's like, I really respected that you did that. It was at the very start of our relationship, and she said it was one of the reasons why I knew you were a good bloke or whatever. There was this guy on a train, and he was making this girl feel really uncomfortable, and he was, like, asking for a number and stuff, and she was, like, backing away, but she felt too uncomfortable to move, and she felt like she couldn't talk to him. And then he's like, what's your name? And I thought he was about to reach out to touch her, I leant over and I was like, mate, she doesn't want to talk to you, right? And, like, no one ever, there was 50 people in the carriage, man, and I was the only one who said something, right? And I didn't even feel like that was, I was like, what? I didn't even feel uncomfortable, like, I didn't feel scared to it. That's the thing, the thought never went through in my mind, oh, he could threaten me. Because, like, as a guy, guys will agree with this, you don't even feel threatened. I walk home by myself all the time. Like, from nights out, I walk from the station sometimes. I've walked by myself after gigs all the time, just like Eurydice did. I walked home that night. I walked 2 kilometres. I parked 2 kilometres away from the venue. I walked through the city at night. Not once did I even think about that. It didn't even cross my mind, which is, I don't know, which means something needs change. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. Obviously, it's still very fresh and new. I just wanted to put it out there and say, guys, if you're listening, the least I could do is do my little bit to contact the community that listens to this podcast. Is girls, keep doing you. Guys, let's be better, all right? That's the end of the podcast. Ending a bit of a weird note, but just something to think about during the week, guys. I'll see you guys next week. Have a great week. Thank you very much to everyone who came to my tour this year. Truly means the world. It was such an up-and-down week with all that stuff happening, and I found out about it on Thursday, the night before my Brisbane show, and And being away from the community, like me and Joseph Green, Joseph knew Eurydice as well. And we were just both were like, this is bizarre. Because we're just following all this through social media and stuff. We're like, this is just, it feels weird being away from it all. I've still got shows to do. It was a bizarre week full of like ups and downs. Like it was horrible week for all these people around me. And then I felt selfish, like, that I had these awesome shows to do, and, like, anyway, I know it's stupid feeling selfish about it, but, like, I know, like, I was having Sydney was one of the best nights of my life, but then after the gig, we started speaking about Eurydice again, and it was like, fuck, I don't know, it was just a lot to take in really quickly. So this week's been really up and down, if we can take anything away from it, is that it, hopefully this never ever happens again to any woman, anyone, guy, girl, it doesn't matter, all right? Guys, just man up, to be a fucking better dude, and even if you think you are, you can always go above and beyond. I'm sure I can always be better, and you can do that by making your mates better, your friends, your cousins, your family members, doesn't matter. So let's try and do our best, at least in this little small community, to whatever, make people feel safe and comfortable in society. All right, thank you very much for listening, guys. So I'll speak to you next week.